This is Reverend Joseph Caesar, and welcome to the Good News Program. I am truly blessed and honored to be called by God to be His servant to spread the good news of salvation to you all. You have done the right thing. Don't change the channel. You are not here by chance, but by divine guidance. And thank you again for listening. This is Reverend Joseph Caesar coming to you again live from BBS Radio. It is always a pleasure to come into your home to spread the good news of salvation. And it is an honor for me that God has called me to spread the good news as a servant. Today's lesson, I want to talk to you from Luke chapter 5 and verse 2. And my topic is called The Call by the Sea. Today's topic is The Call by the Sea. Day was breaking over the Sea of Galilee. The disciples, weary with a night of fruitless toil, was telling their fishing boats on the lake. Jesus had come to spend a quiet hour by the waterside. In the early morning, he hoped for a little season of rest from the multitude that followed him day after day. But soon, the people began to gather about him. Their numbers rapidly increased so that he was pressed upon all sides. Meanwhile, the disciples had to come to land in order to escape the pressure of the multitude. Jesus stepped into Peter's boat and bid him pull out a little from the shore. Here, Jesus could be better seen and heard by all. And from the boat, he taught the multitude on the beach. Well, what a scene was this for angels to contemplate their glorious commander sitting in a fisherman's boat, swayed to and fro by the restless waves and proclaiming the good news of salvation to the listening throng that were pressing down to the water's edge. He who was the honored of heaven was declaring the great things of his kingdom in the open air to the common people. Yet he could have had no more fitting scene for his labors. The lake, the mountains, the spreading fields, the sunlight flooding the earth, all furnish objects to illustrate his lessons and impress them upon the mind. And no lesson of crisis fell fruitless. Every message from his lips came to some soul as the word of eternal life. And every moment added to the multitude upon the shore, aged men leaning upon their staffs, hardy peasants from the hills, fishermen from their toil on the lake, merchants and rabbis, the rich and learned, old and young, bringing their sick and suffering ones, pressed to hear the words of the divine teacher. to such scene as this the prophets had looked forward, and they wrote, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali toward the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, to them did light spring up. Whoa. Beside the throng on the shores of Gennesaret, Jesus, in his sermon by the sea, had other audiences before his mind. Looking down the ages, he saw his faithful ones in prison and judgment hall, in temptation and loneliness and affliction. Every scene of joy and conflict and perplexity was open before him. In the words spoken to those gathered about him, he was speaking also to these other souls, the very words that would come to them as a message of hope in trial, of comfort in sorrow, and heavenly light in darkness. And so through the Holy Spirit, that voice which was speaking from the fisherman's boat on the Sea of Galilee would be heard speaking peace to human hearts to close of time. And so the discourse ended. Jesus turned to Peter and bade him to launch out into the sea and let down his net for a draught. But Peter was disheartened. All night he had taken nothing. During the lonely hours, he had thought of the fate of John the Baptist, who was languishing alone in his dungeon. He had thought of the prospect before Jesus and his followers, of his ill success of the mission of Judea, and the malice of the priests and rabbis. Even his own occupation had failed him. And as he watched by the empty nets, the future had seemed dark and grim with discouragement. Then he said, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. But nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And so night was the only favorable time for fishing with nets in the clear waters of the lake. After toiling all night without success, it seemed hopeless to cast the net by day. But Jesus had given the command, and love for their master moved the disciples to obey. Simon and his brother together let down the net. As they attempted to draw it in, so great was the quantity of fish enclosed that it began to break. And so they were obliged to summon James and John to their aid. When the catch was secured, the boats were so heavily laden that they were in danger of sinking. But Peter was unmindful now of boats or laden. This miracle, above any other he had ever witnessed, was to him a manifestation of divine power. In Jesus, he saw one who held all nature under his control. The presence of divinity revealed his own unholiness. Love for his master, shame for his own unbelief, gratitude for the condescending of Christ, and above all, the scene of his uncleanness in the presence of infinite purity overwhelmed him. While his companions were securing the contents of the net, Peter fell at the Savior's feet, exclaiming, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. O Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man." It was the same presence of divine holiness that had caused the prophet Daniel to fall as one dead before the angel of God. He said, "My comeliness, my beauty was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength." And so when Isaiah beheld the glory of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Woe, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." You can find that in Daniel chapter 10, verse 8, Isaiah chapter 6, and verse 5. Humanity, with its weakness and sin, was brought in contrast with the perfection of divinity, and he felt altogether deficient and unholy. And so thus it has been with all who have been granted a view of God's greatness and majesty. Peter exclaimed, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." But yet, he continued to cling to the feet of Jesus, feeling that he could not be parted from him. He just told Jesus to depart, but yet wouldn't let go. The Savior answered with this power within him. The Savior answered, "Fear not, Peter. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men." It was after Isaiah had beheld the holiness of God and his own unworthiness that he was entrusted with the divine message. It was after Peter had been led to self-renunciation and dependence upon divine power that he received the call to his work for Christ. And you know what? Until this time, none of the disciples had fully united as co-laborers with Jesus. They had witnessed many of his miracles and had listened to his teaching, but they had not entirely forsaken their former employment. They still hang on to it. The imprisonment of John the Baptist had been to them all a bitter disappointment. If such were to be the outcome of John's mission, they could have little hope for their master, with all the religious leaders combined against him. Under the circumstances, it was a relief to them to return to a short time to their fishing. But now, Jesus called them to forsake their former life and unite their interest with his. Peter had accepted the call. Upon reaching the shore, Jesus bade the three other disciples, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And immediately they left all and followed Jesus. Before asking them to leave their nets and fishing boats, Jesus had given them the assurance that God would supply their needs. Yes, there is no way God will not take you that he's not going to be there and your need will not be supplied. He will supply your need. The use of Peter's boat for the work of the gospel had been richly repaid. He who is rich unto all that call upon him has said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over." It is said in Romans chapter 10, verse 12, Luke chapter 6, verse 38. In this measure, he had rewarded the disciples' service. And every sacrifice that is made in his ministry will be recompensed according to the exceeding riches of his grace. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, and chapter 2, verse 7. When they were separated from Christ, the disciples were pressed hard by unbelief and weary with fruitless toil. But his presence kindled their faith. Jesus stayed with them and brought them to joy and success. So it is with us. Apart from Christ, our walk is fruitless. And it is easy to distrust and murmur. But when he is near, we labor under his direction. We rejoice in the evidence of his power. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, it is Satan's work to discourage the soul. It is Christ's work to inspire with faith and hope. Don't give up. Don't let go. God will see you through. The deeper lesson which the miracle conveyed for the disciples is a lesson for us also, that he whose word could gather the fishes from the sea could also impress human hearts and draw them by the cords of his love, so that his servants might become fishers of men. They were humble and unlearned men. They were those fishes of Galilee. But Christ, the light of the world, was abundant, able to qualify them for the position for which he had chosen them. You know one thing, the Savior did not despise education. For when controlled by the love of God and devoted to his service, intellectual culture is a blessing. But he passed by the wise men of his time because they were so self-confident that they could not sympathize with suffering humanity and become co-laborers with the man of Nazareth. In their bigotry, they scorned to be taught by Christ. The Lord Jesus seeks the cooperation of those who will become unobstructed channels for the communication of his grace. The first thing to be learned by all who would become workers together with God is the lesson of self-distrust. Then they are prepared to have imparted to them the character of Jesus Christ. This is not to be gained through the education in the most scientific schools. It is the fruit of wisdom that is obtained from the divine teacher alone. Jesus chose unlearned fishermen because they had not been schooled in the traditions and erroneous customs of their time. They were just men of native ability, and they were humble and teachable. Men who had an insatiable appetite to know about God. Men whom he could educate for his work in the common walks of life. There is many a man patiently threading the round of daily toil, unconscious that he possesses powers which, if called into action, would raise him to an equality with the world's most honored men. Many men. The touch of a skill and skill hands is needed to arouse those dormant faculties. It was such men that Jesus called to be his co-laborers, and he gave them the advantage of association with himself. Never had the world's great men such a teacher. When the disciples came forth from the Savior's training, They were no longer ignorant and uncultured. They had become like him in mind and character. And men took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. It's not the highest walk of education to communicate knowledge merely, but to impart that vitalizing energy which is received through the contact of mind with mind and soul with soul. It is only life that can beget life. What privilege then was theirs, who for 3 years were in daily contact with that divine life from which has flowed every life-giving impulse that has blessed the world. Above all, his companions, John the beloved disciple, yielded himself to the power of that wondrous life. He says, the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Of his fullness have all we receive, and grace for grace. In Jesus' name, I come to an end of today's message. I pray that this message was a blessing to you and to yours. And so, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask your Lord to continue to use me and bless the radio station, which gives me this opportunity to carry forth your word. Thank you for using me as your conduit and your mouthpiece. In Jesus' name, God be with you. God peace be with you. And God blessing and direction be with you. Jesus is Lord. Amen.
If this ministry has been a blessing and helped you through the Word of God, please donate. There's a donate button at the top of the show page. Any amount would be welcomed. Thank you in advance. This money will help keep the program Good News airing on BBS Radio. Remember, Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And Romans 10:9 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved."